All right, well, let me just summarize the coming of to pass, and that is like this: have faith in God. Turn to your neighbor, say, have faith in God. Tell your neighbor again, have faith in God. Now, what I want to just share with you briefly, when I said have faith in God, is this. You know, life responds to your faith. Now, this not, I will make sure this is not more than 5 minutes, so I can get into my teaching for today. Life responds to your faith. That's how God did it. You know, if you're on our mailing list, you get a mail I sent recently in which I was trying to explain the fact that spiritual things are very real. They are not just real to those of us who believe. They're actually really, really real. That is, you know, I now found that science is actually, they have measured down to the edge of the spiritual. I didn't even know. If you know physics, you know what they call quantum mechanics. By the time I started reading about it in the last 1 or 2 weeks, I was shocked at what I was seeing. And some of the comments I passed in that article, the sermon I sent out about last week, only to find out that I thought I was being spiritual. I didn't even know physicists already knew what I was decoding by the Spirit. I don't know what I get what I say. Some of the claims I was making, physicists had made the claims. And I was thinking that it's from knowing the Word of God. Yeah, I discovered it from knowing the Scriptures. But I found out that physicists are actually discovering that level. I made up my mind that no real physicist will tell you that there's no spiritual realm. They have gotten to a point in which they know it has to exist. There's a man, I was about to order his book, but I didn't. The website I saw it on, I can't order from it. So I said, okay, later on I'll go and order on Amazon. The guy was not, he didn't believe in God until he approached a particular level. He's a professor of physics and mathematics and what they call an astronomy. Until he got a particular level in his study, he just realized that the realm of the spirit has to exist. So now wrote a book titled The Physics of Immortality. Then there's another one he wrote after it. He called it The Physics of Christianity. Listen, I'm not going to bring out an issue here. Your faith controls your life. Listen, if you know Jesus said, have faith in God. That was all he asked the disciples. Every time the disciples had a problem, Jesus told the disciples, he said, have faith in God. Every time the disciples had problems, the apostles, you know what he told them? Where is your faith? O ye of little faith. There was never a time he said to them, the problem is because you have enemies. The problem is because the devil is strong. Every issue is, what happened to your faith? Think about it. Peter sank on water. He did not even have mercy on Peter. I don't know what I get my point. Peter sank on... If you sink in mud, I will feel sorry for you. I won't query your faith. This man sank on water. On the sea. Yeah, Jesus, when he rescued him, he said, why did you doubt? That is, why are you sinking? It's not because you are too heavy for water. It is because of what? Doubt. It is a lie that they teach to Christians these days. That's because somebody does not want you to succeed. If somebody points a gun at you and injures you, Jesus will look at you and say, why did you doubt? I don't know what I heard I said. A gun. You and I will have said, this life is terrible. Everywhere is unsafe these days. What can a Christian do? But Jesus will have looked and said, why are they doubting? I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen to me. The amount of failure you will experience in life as a Christian is directly tied to the amount of unbelief in your life. And like I said, if you follow me on Twitter, I put out a tweet the other day that you cannot use physical displacement to remove yourself from problems as a Christian. You can't say, I'm failing in Nigeria, I'm going to the United Kingdom. When you get there, you know you have to take a flight, obtain a visa. The spirits don't need that. They'll just contact their friends. Say, there's one guy we're killing here. He's coming to your zone. They are waiting. You cannot use physical displacement to solve a spiritual problem. You have to solve your problem inside. And I'm telling you again, the problem of Christians is what? Unbelief. The foundation of unbelief, number one, is lack of knowledge. Number two, unpersuadableness. You are telling them something, they are arguing with you. If the word of God says something you don't understand, don't argue. I remember once I was talking with a lady many years ago. I'm talking about a situation of the country. I said, "Wait, Christian." I said something. She was saying on that one. I said, "Will you stop talking? I'm giving you the word of God. You are giving me experience. What's wrong with you?" No, I got to the point. I was angry. I don't want to go into what we're discussing that day. I just want to talk about the principles of life. How to, you know, man, woman, family, how children can be raised and all of that. We're just talking about, when I hear some statements, I'll quote something, she'll tell me on that thing. After a while, I say, "Will you be quiet? I'm telling you the word of God. You're telling me experience how private schools are expensive. If your children can't go to school because you can't pay, you know what Jesus said? It is because of what? Unbelief. Doubt. So private schools are expensive these days. I said, so that has made the word of God of no effect. And listen, if you truly hold on to God's word, it will never fail you. Let your friends run up and down. One day they are going to come back and meet you, you that was believing the word of God. You see, we're not talking on the natural plane now, but even down to the natural plane, in 15 years' time, we will see who succeeded. Are you getting my point? Because the word of God is alive. It produces. You hear what I said? What did I say? I didn't hear you well enough. It produces. The word of God is alive. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. That's just introduction for today. I just feel like greeting somebody. All right, let's get into our message for today. The Lord is good. Let me just emphasize it again. The reason why Christians fail is not because of the surrounding circumstances. So, why do they fail? Say it loud. Thank you. Unbelief. That's why Christians fail. Anybody who tells me, I don't know, I'm tired of saying this thing. No, I'm not tired yet. I will not neglect to remind you of it. Listen, you know, it's God, we're in Africa. So we have to keep addressing these things. As far as you are concerned, witches don't exist. You hear what I said? You don't sound persuaded. I'll say it again until I persuade you. As far as you, child of God, as far as you are concerned, witches don't exist. If you understand that, say amen. Is that you say they don't exist? Who cares? Let me give an example now. There's a particular universe. Not a universe now. What do you call it? Galaxy. There's a particular galaxy that's like 50 million light years away from Earth. And there are two of Banjis there dancing disco every morning. How does that concern? Are you getting my point? How is that my business? How is that my business? That's why I said, as far as you are concerned, witches don't exist. They don't. I said, okay, you don't know my neighbor. The other day, I sneezed like this. The woman didn't like this. I said, I have a headache. Thank you. You have confessed. You're a sinner. This is the judgment of God that gave you headache, not the witch. They will say, because one woman did my mother like this, say I will never marry. That's why I have not married till now. Listen to me. It's a lie. What did I say? You put yourself into trouble. All those what do you call it, prayer houses you have been going to. That is where your problems began. Let me tell you the truth. You know what prayer houses do? They make money. It's a business. That's why they don't like to set you free. You have to come back. Like they say, the money is in the comeback. If they set you free, where would they make money from? They put people in bondage. Believe me when I tell you it's business. One day I was traveling, so I was supposed to wait for the taxi man who would pick me. The man said I should wait in his house. So I think my dad dropped me off there. So I sat down in front of his house waiting for the man to come. I was going to Lagos. Opposite his house, some guys were there fighting. Not physical fighting, just arguing. What do you mean? What do you know about this church matter? It is our family that made your people bishop. We, you know, they were arguing. Oh, what is one uncompleted building? These guys were there fighting. Ah, you know what I mean? Just arguing. After a while, the argument stopped. Then prayer started. Then the prayer ended. Then the argument started. I now realize what happened. A client came. You didn't get that? The argument when there was no business. Then a client arrived. Good morning, Pastor. Uh-huh. What is it? Please, I have this problem. All right, let us pray. Then she gave an offering and left. Then they went back to the argument. My wife has explained when we go home, sometimes, you know, some people pray throughout the night. We'll be hearing from far distances. One day, my mother told me one of them that happened. She said, the Reverend Father said this one in church. The Reverend Father was staying in the mission house, you know, where they stay. And near him, these guys have been praying every night. They don't let him stay. So one night, he got tired. He got up, left his mission house, walked across to where the people were praying the whole night, not letting him sleep, only to discover that they were all asleep. There were like three people there, sleeping. And the noise that has been disturbing poor Reverend Father all these weeks was a speaker, a tape. Business, they were advertising. The man was surprised, he got there, he had to knock, he had to wake them up. Please, reduce the volume of that thing. That is, he thought they were really human beings. When you tell them, why are you guys disturbing the neighborhood? Only to get there and find out that, as a matter of fact, these guys were sleeping. And they put the speakers out just to attract people to their own business district. And you carry your problems and go to such places. They can't help you. What did I say? They can't help anybody. Your freedom, your deliverance is in approaching to the Word of God, learning the Word of God, imbibing the Word, and walking out, you know, with that Word, facing life by faith and speaking just that which the Word of God says to you. If you have given your life to Christ, you don't have an ancestral curse. The only ancestral problem in your life now is how to obey God. Did you hear what I said? He said, but you see, the thing that happened to my grandmother happened to my mother, and I'm afraid it will happen to me. You don't understand. Fear of your grandmother was passed on to your mother, and if you refuse that bad behavior, you don't bring into Christianity, the curse stops there. Go and check it. That's what happened. Is there a curse? I don't know. I don't care. Like I said, as far as you are concerned, it's irrelevant. You are free in Christ Jesus. Some people are deceived by something. As I was approaching the place, the man began to see visions. Anybody can see visions. There's what they call familiar spirits. Familiar spirits like to see visions. They can't help you. They will tell the story of your life. Your father married your mother in a particular village. He will tell you, How did the demon know? You have been discussing it at home. He came. A friend of mine once, he said he didn't believe in God. He dreamt a dream that somebody died in his family. Then somebody said, escort me one day, let me go to a white garment church. So as soon as he got to that church, the reverend there, or priest, whatever, or the pastor, just pointed and said, hey, you, except you fast for 3 days and three nights, say, I see death around you. Except you fast for 3 days and three nights, somebody's going to die in your family. He said, oh boy, I fast too. He was so afraid. This guy was a useless womanizer. A useless one. A terrible one. A bad one. And they will tell all kinds of lies to make money when we're house officers. Yet he's fasting to remove problem from his family. If you want problem to go away from your family, preach repentance to everybody. Tell them the truth. If we don't serve God, we can't prosper. I'm not talking about money prosperity now, prosperity in every aspect. That you cannot pray a curse away from the life of a sinner. Did you hear what I said? You can't pray a curse away from the life of a sinner. You may be able to suspend judgment for a few days, but that judgment will still come down unless that fellow repents. For those of you who are going to prayer houses and following prophets, let me define for you a false prophet again. A false prophet points finger is always looking for the cause of your problems amongst mankind and does not point to you and say the problem is your sin or your unbelief, your refusal to repent. Any prophet that he prays with you, just finish praying like this and starts telling you who the cause of your problem is, I don't care whether he's the biggest pastor in Nigeria, is on television, he's false. You hear what I say? I don't care. He's false. Or at least, that particular prophecy is a lie. The other day, my mother, we're watching TV. Point that one man of God was on TV. Ah, this man, he said, she asked me, is this Jenny? I said, I don't know. I'm not the barometer. Half of those prophetic things you see, half of them don't believe in God. They just want to make money. I'm not kidding. So be carrying your head, following prophet. They will kill you one day. One day, a man went to in Ibadan. A man went to a pastor to pray. The man told him that he must never go to Lagos again. That if he goes to Lagos, he will die on the express road. That the witches that want to kill him, they are waiting there. So the man stopped going to Lagos. Unfortunately, business was in Lagos for him. So, when the devil wants to punish you, initially it was worry. Now you added financial distress. The man was now broke. Okay, why are you not working? He can't tell you. Many things people can't tell you. One day, a young woman packed her load, and walked out of her husband's house. My wife knows what the story I'm talking about. Walked a way out. The man told me later, he said the thing that distresses him the most is that he doesn't know why. If it's that we fought, I will understand. By the time he finished talking with me, I said, you know the truth? He said, what? I said, she and her parents have gone to one of these prophets, and they prophesied to them that she will die if she stays in your house. She can't tell you. He hasn't confirmed it for me till now, but I don't have any doubt. When you follow those prophets, they will take away peace from your life. They will take away peace from you. You won't be able to sleep. The little peace you had, you will lose it. You will lose it. Think about it. Before, you used to go and visit people and eat. You stopped going. No, think about it. Before your family, you had no problem. If they say that your father's friend is doing a party, is doing housewarming, you will go there. They serve you food. But since that time, have you eaten anywhere? You're afraid. You're suspicious of everything. A hungry boy begs you for money. You suddenly think he's a, what they call those spirits that are normally small. They don't have them here. I told you in the West, we had all this. When I come down to the East, we didn't do anything. In the East, Obanje. The Amari Morales, we know they're rich. They know they're small. They're fine. We have these spirits in the West, The one you see there, that's like small children. Do they have it here? Suddenly you are suspicious. So you don't want to give the little boy your money. Meanwhile, he's just a hungry boy. Some people, they wear old clothes. They can't part with it. They are not stingy. They are afraid that if I give out these clothes now, they will use it to do voodoo against me. The worst thing you can do with my clothes is to get healed by it. That if your faith is low, say, how do I get healed? Go and collect one of my old clothes, wear it. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, the man wearing this, that was wearing this thing, I shall say small anointing remain inside. I hereby collect it. That is the only thing you can do with my clothes. There are people that burn their old clothes because they are afraid. A man I knew, I didn't know him personally, but my friend knew him. I told the story many times. Those days when I had to work for a whole month to earn 5,000 naira as a middle post NYC doctor, He used to buy his cars brand new. He had a duplex all to himself in Surulere in Lagos. He couldn't sleep there. Why? The prophets that delivered him said he had to be sleeping inside the church. So he would come to church, put pillow there. Every night, one of my friends used to work. They had a kind of school. Then my friend was working in the school. So I used to go and visit him. So in the evening, we'd sleep with him. You tell me that's him. The man drives up to church, parks, comes out with one white cloth and covers himself and sleeps inside church. If you are like that, you are in bondage. You are not free. You are not free. You are in bondage. As I was telling the story, that man became broke because he said he couldn't go to Lagos again. Fear. I had heard the story. Another man of God, so his friend now dragged him to another pastor. What is the problem? That was it. So the problem is that you can't go to Lagos. He said, okay, you know what you do? You will go to Lagos and tell everybody I told you to go to Lagos. He preached the true gospel of Jesus to him. I said, you're free. Go. Of course, he began to go to Lagos and he began to prosper again. That's true freedom. Many people, their lives are in distress. Why? They believe lies. You don't know how to pray for yourself. Every prayer, you have gone to a prophet. Many of you know me well. If I don't know you, I don't pray for you. Please, I want to talk to you. I say, talk to me. Why? Why do you want to talk to me? Okay, please, it's important. I said, go and talk to Israel. Go and talk to Yinka. If Yinka says you should talk to me, then I'll listen to you. I'm not a prayer contractor. Yeah. I only pray with people I know. And what do I mean? Because I know you and I are feeding, you know, we are thinking alike. We have the same frequency, so we can have faith together. You can't be having faith with me. I'm praying with you. You're supposed to have some faith. I'm supposed to join my faith with your own. I can't be praying with you, and what is ailing you is witches. You're like, witches, see, he's praying. Now all of you will run. And my prayer is not directed at any witch. I don't donate any prayer for them. They know. Go to where they gather. I don't pray against them. It's a waste of time. If I like them to gather around when I want to be blessed, it's a fulfillment of scripture. Prepares the table before me, the presence of all my witches. You gather. No, gather. What difference will it make? There's nothing. You can imagine a community of cats, they are eating. What will happen to the rats? They will keep there. They won't say that we harm them. They will not be happy that, thank God, though, the cats don't know we are here. Thank God, somebody gave them cat food. Well, not that somebody gave them cat food, we would have been cat food. You getting my point? So, that's why I won't pray with somebody who I don't know. My reason is simple. I don't even know what you are thinking. So they come to me and say, I have this problem. I say, go and get the book, Acquire Life. When you have finished reading it, come back. Like I told you before, 9 times out of 10, people will come back and say, having read that book, I don't need you to pray for me again. I have found that I'm already free. Or I have found that I can handle the prayer myself. Yeah. The job of a pastor is to teach, is not to pray. The Bible says, any afflicted, let him pray. Do you understand my point? The Bible expects every Christian to be able to pray. The most important thing I do for you, that is, if you call me pastor, the number one thing I do for you is I teach you. So if you call me and tell me an issue, if you ever heard me pray, do you know what I do? I give you the word. I don't just come, Father, Father, Father. All that I do is I join faith with it. Are you getting my point? We can have agreement in faith. That is why if I don't know you, I don't pray with you. What am I going to say? You carry my prayer. Maybe as I'm praying like this, you are holding one handkerchief in your hand. Oh, trying to soak the prayer. After that, you go carry around and say, anybody try me, I'll use Pastor Mankey to beat you. Meanwhile, that's not the aim. The aim is to beef up your faith. In fact, when we are praying, what the prayer does is to... No? Because if I pray for you and I walk away, after I have gone, the devil will now say, okay, Shebi has gone now. And start scaring you at night. But if you understand, which is my primary assignment, instruct people with the word of God. No, just to It may sound funny. Oye delivered yesterday. I mean, it was yesterday. Yesterday morning. I mean, you don't know Oye. Okay, she delivered yesterday morning. All right, the Lord is good. All right, you were clapping, so clap properly and thank the Lord for her. You know, about 2 weeks ago, she came and said, "Pastor, pray." I said, "Pray about what?" That she started a kind of pregnancy. She wants the thing to go down. That she wants to deliver sharp, sharp. I just turned to her. I said, "He makes everything beautiful in His time." That's all I can say. I said, "Pastor, pray." And I said, "I can't pray any prayer." I said, "Don't be the tortoise who was inside the latrine for 2 weeks." And they said, "Let me go and get the rope." He said, "Hurry, this place is smelly." 2 weeks, you're inside there. 5 minutes to go and get rope to bring you out. So they say, "This place is smelly." I told her, no. "Please, oh girl, don't worry about it. You've done this in 9 whole months. 1 extra week, 2 extra weeks won't enjoy you. Don't be impatient." So last Saturday when she now came, and that's all right. Really, I had almost like a word from the Lord. I said, "All right, I'm going to give you 3 prayers. And they're just 3 scriptures. One of them, Isaiah 66, verse 9. If you ever told me your wife is pregnant or you are pregnant, I've given you that scripture. I give to every pregnant person I know. I said, "He makes everything perfect in His own time." And I put a 3rd one into it. 3 of them saying that you will deliver at the appropriate time and you will deliver safely. Is that not what's most important? I said, "Take those scriptures and go." So when the husband comes, that she's in labor, I said, "Ah, good." I just talked to her on the phone, blessed her again. And then about 2 hours later, I called him back that, anyway, let's make it on you. 2 hours later, she delivered. I said, "Ah, praise the Lord." I'm telling the story because of that Saturday. I said, "Look, that's the prayer I can pray." You understand? The word of God has already said to that one. Do you understand my point? And we just took those 3 scriptures, dropped them. Oh, I didn't even remember that. All the witches in the village that said this young woman will not deliver safely. Oh, Holy Ghost fire upon you. Shame, shame, shame. Shame on you. They will collect their shame at the appropriate time. Do you get my point? I don't have the time to be distributing shame. We collect the 3 scriptures, shared it, take it, go home. And anytime you remember, recite those that word, because the word of God is what we use to fight. My friend told me about when his own sister wanted to get, his sister-in-law wanted to deliver. The other sister carried the lady to their pastor, and pastor began to fight every uncle that gave her something to drink. Every auntie that said this pregnancy will not prosper. They cover every corner. One of my friends went to pray one day. He said the pastor decided to bind every demon between here and Onitsha. And he was doing it, I think, every 15 kilometers or every 12 kilometers. I'm not kidding. The prayer took how many hours, baby? Can you remember? It was like 6 hours. A few hours. The man went after the demons. They will start from Enugu to 9th Mile. Blood-sucking demon, car-spoiling demons, the demons in the gearbox, the one under the tire, the one in the roof. I was looking at him. I said, "You did that?" He said, "The man, you do." They prayed and like 5, 3 or 6 hours. I said, "That pastor is obviously very jobless. That's not a joke. You don't have work to do. If you can take one man coming up and you are binding demons on the roof because he does business on nature." So my brother said after that he went home and he became sick unto death. That he was so sick for the next 1 week. I said, "You know what happened to you?" He said, "What?" I said, "Fella was very prophetic in that area. You know, Anikula Kokuti." He said, "Trouble sleep, younger go wake up." Wait a minute. That what happened was that you went to invite demons that were not disturbing you. Listen. If you are like that, I forbid you in the name of Jesus from going back to such places. They are not helping you. They are filling your life with fear. The last 2 guys who proposed to you now, you know, the prophet spoiled it. Those of you keep on carrying names of potential wife and husband to prophets, you will marry devil. Look, listen, I'm not kidding. You can never marry well. Let me just warn you. They will approve an evil spirit for you. Don't say I didn't warn you. Because you are consulting familiar spirits. You're not consulting the true God. You think you're consulting the true God?
One brother came in the other day, told me that there's, listen, and I don't care. He said, the brother was talking to me. He said, is the wife of a, okay, I don't want to mention the name of the church, but a very popular church in Nigeria that's Pentecostal, and they are known for being true Pentecostal, a true church. Said, the woman is the wife of one of the pastors. I said, so when you see a young woman you're interested in, you will call her and inform her? He said, yes. I said, does she know the girls in question? He said, no. I said, stop it. I said, don't tell me anything further. Stop! You are consulting a witch. He said, but it's a man of God's wife. I don't give a hoot. I don't give a hoot. She's confusing your life. It's called divination. Christians don't understand. They think divination is only when you go and get all this one of, if it is your wish, you know, somebody shows a vision, it's divination. Somebody will give you a direct word. Listen, any one of you here that if you have ever come to me for advice, you go and check the way I give you counsel. First question, is he a Christian? He said yes. Oh, let's start with she. There's a reason. Is she a Christian? Yes. She's a true believer? Yes. Is she in Enugu here? You say yes. I say, how come? I have never seen her follow you for Bible study. You know me, I'm not looking for members or I'm not building a church or something. I just want to know that how much of the word of God does this person like? If you now explain that, okay, you give me an explanation, okay, I'll back down a bit. Of course, maybe your relationship is not very strong yet, then why are you asking me counsel? Somebody who doesn't know you yet. You know, someone who never follow you in that area yet. That's my own counsel. It is not about me. I just want to know, is this fellow interested in the word of God? They ask a few other questions. And then if I pray with you, it is that God will give you wisdom. Will make things clear to you. I will never do, see me tomorrow, let me decide. Only false prophets do that. I'm not joking about it. Let me tell you something about false prophecies. There are two types. There are career false prophets. They woke up in the morning and say, I'm going to be false. This is business. God didn't call me to ministry. I've called myself to my own kind of ministry. I will deceive the world. But most other false prophets are just ignorant and stupid people who think that by virtue of their position as a clergyman, a minister, they have to do it. They think it undermines their status if they can't handle such things. That those are the more common ones amongst Christians, amongst true Christians. They are confused. They don't realize that to be a prophet doesn't mean you call up visions and determine the mind of God at will. Listen, I am not saying prophets can't know. Look, a prophet can tell you, come, this girl you're about to marry will not help you. That can happen. Please, I need to clarify that. In fact, Father, thank you. I need to clarify it. All right? It can happen. What I'm telling you is not the will of God. It's the one in which you go, submit the name. And if you let me pray, I'll give you an answer tomorrow. That one is divination. You may be in a relationship and God says this relationship will not help you. And he sees your heart that you're actually sincere. So he sends a prophet to you and says, God said I should tell you, don't marry this man. He said, but he's a good Christian. God says I should tell you, don't marry this woman. He said, but she's so committed. She's a leader in their fellowship. I don't know why. I was just praying. And then, so it happens. And let me tell you something about prophets again, such prophecies. So that your life is not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You just don't obey them. You pray with them. I don't know what I heard I said. Yes, otherwise, your life will be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And at such times, God sends credible prophets. Only my credible. Do you get my point? People that you will believe. That is, God knows. And the one I think is more likely to happen is that a good friend of yours that does not dream stupid dreams. In fact, a lot of times, this is what I think. I'm not being dogmatic about it. A lot of times, the kind of prophet that will come to you will not be a regular prophet on those marriage matters. A lot of times. Like I said to you, I'm not being dogmatic. I'm just giving you, from experience.
most likely to be a good friend who loves you will dream a dream one night and say, Eunice, I don't know what's going on, but I had this dream. I just had this, that is, he just tell you, and then instantly your spirit will know, no, this lady or this man is talking about this thing, and he's saying, don't do it. Again, what do? You just simply go and use it to pray. You can't live your life by somebody tossing you to and fro. This is New Testament, too. This is not Israel. New Testament, God says, I will write my laws on their hearts. No one will have to say to the other, know the Lord. What does that mean? One will not control the life of the other person. Say, this is what God wants you to do. Each person will know it in his heart, in her heart. A sister asked me the other day, I asked her a question. Do you want to marry this guy? She said, I'm not decided. I said, you have to decide. She asked me a simple question. I want to use it as an illustration. All right? She said, if I agree to marry him, will you support it? It shows the amount of regard she has for my opinion. Can you see that? So what did I tell her? I said simply, I said, you know me very well. I don't know the guy. I have to trust you on that. I told her straight. I said, it's not somebody I know. I said, one, the only thing I know about him is what you told me about him. I said, I know he's a Christian because you told me he's a Christian. And you mentioned the church he attends. I said, that's all I know. I said, the only other thing I have observed is that he's a nice person. And I say, you also know me. All of you know me, what I mean. I said, whether you are nice or not, to me, is zero. It's zero. It's immaterial. It's immaterial. Say, Pastor, I shouldn't marry a nice man. Oh, girl. On 10 points, niceness is number 11. Did you hear what I said? On what? 10 points. Niceness is number what? So it doesn't even feature in the 10 points. What is my reason? Because I've heard of nice people who killed their wife and killed their husband. Nice people can become useless tomorrow. A lot of womanizers are very nice. Father in heaven. They are the nicest. Those nincompoops are the nicest people around. They know how to sway women. Listen, I've been married for some time. And I'm old enough to observe in this life. If I used to tell my wife, if I was not a Christian, I would be a very dangerous person. Women, I know, you see, unless women go to church, if a woman doesn't go to church, she's unsafe. Because a joker will carry you one day. He will have finished you, kill you first before you realize, before you open and say, oh boy, why didn't you just say you are the devil? There was one guy in this town. He chased one young girl like this. Chase the girl, die, you know? The guy married and finished. The marriage lasted 2 years. This guy is not just a womanizer. He even chases married women. No, his wife delivered. His wife had Peking. I'm not sure, said the guy, go hospital. Go see him. When he finally went, he said, I don't know how to carry babies. And that's why they look at his own daughter. Child. Birth to him. When she wanted to marry him, everybody said, you don't know this guy, we know him, run. But he was so sweet to her. So sweet. Listen, guys, let me teach you something you can use a good way. Don't use a bad way. If you use a bad way, God will punish you. Say amen. Amen. It's a good prayer. So now you are afraid to do bad. I tell you, if I'm a pastor of a cathedral, no corrupt politician will come to my church. Every Sunday, I will say, in Jesus' name, this week, you know, the way pastors say, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. The Lord keep his face, you shine upon you, and all of that. And the Lord destroy you if you do evil this week. I go out and join. That is, that one, every man who will call that church again. He said, but when are we doing that vote rigging? He said, it's next week. Don't go to church this week. He said, that's one political. So let me tell you something. You can use the good way. Good way. Just wake up in the morning, you know. You never even brush. Just carry your phone. Hello, Edna. How are you doing? Oh, I'm still sleeping. Oh, you're still sleeping. Oh, I'm sure today will be a good day. That your beautiful voice is waking this day up. Oh, they get. That's it. Go back at the whole day. When I was in Lagos, I used to tell my guy, say, I can make any woman smile. He said, I said, just inside traffic. You know, inside traffic. Just drive up, look the woman beside you. Just the look. Don't talk, just the look. Don't say anything. No. Just be looking. Even if she's 60 years old, she'll go blush. I said, just be looking. Even if it's, I know now. Look, all this lady beside you. No, I used to tell my guys, that is, if you now, I'm not joking. No. And this one, just to make somebody smile, you don't know the bedside traffic. As you're about to drive, just say, fine girl, and drive off. Hey! My father, she will go to work that day, she'll be nice to everybody. You won't know, one stranger saw her inside traffic. And said she's a fine girl. One day I did something. A few months ago, I was going to Bonny Island at Port Harcourt. I saw one car that I loved. This is just a car, and I wasn't doing it. I didn't even know the other of the car. Man, you know this kind of car you see, eh? You know, some people like some things. You know, me, I like fine ride. You know, fine ride. My God, this is the will of God concerning you. So that day, I just saw this. Is it dark red? You know, let me not take the car so that you won't go and buy it for me. All right? I'll wait till you prosper some more. Amen? But if you have secrets, many millions, you can come and let me know. So I'll tell you where they sell the car. You go and bring it. One whole night, prayer for only you. So I was looking at the car. I was not looking at the car. My God, there was nobody in the car. So I went like this. I picked my phone. I went to snap a picture of the car. My phone died at that moment. See, this wicked fool, you know? I was waiting for the boat, you know, so we're at the jetty. I was waiting for my boat. So I went to grab something to eat, and I came out from the small restaurant there. As I came out, there was this lady that I saw around the car. She didn't look like she owned the car. She didn't look, you know, she looked like maybe somebody gave her a lift, something like that. She was, you know, shabbily dressed. This car is sharp, you know? This car, for you to drive that kind of car, eh? Even if you don't dress well, as you come down, part of the beauty of the car will attach to your dress. So, but then there was a way she just came by. I just saw her approach the car. Pew! No, the car. Chomp! The car responded. She opened the door, took something, closed it again. I said, no, this young woman owns this car. I just walked up to her. I said, madam, good afternoon. I said, good morning. You have the most beautiful car in this country. The woman fell on the car. I'm not joking. I told myself, say, if now her husband buy for her, that guy is going to wonder what happened today. He just go back home. This woman will be loving him all over the house. I just said, this your car is the most beautiful car. And I wasn't joking. I wasn't trying to, because I had moved around that car many times. Before this, I wanted to say, this man with the Boko Haram, you know, I had the car so fine. She take a picture of it now, and I say, oh, sorry, that I thought I wanted to do that before you came. But my phone died. But I just said, I didn't tell her she was fine. Just her car. What if I told her, madam, you are the most beautiful woman in River State? She said she'll have walked home that day. You know, that's what I said, woman, women, you must go to church. If you don't go to church, these guys will steal you. They will kidnap you. This lady I was telling you about, this was how that guy did to her. She just wake up one morning, credit on her phone. Maybe you're just sitting at home, somebody will just knock, deliver a kick. Boys, they're writing these things down. Use it the good way. I've told you, use it the good way. And in case you are married, still do it too. I finished preaching, I'm talking about nice. You see, when I finished, then I said the spirit is shower. I just go home. Baby girl, you want shower ma? She said, why not? Enter the car. I drove my wife to go and shower ma that night. But Jews sat down there eating shawarma, just feeling the love, you know? You see, you can learn this. That's a lady said, don't worry, he will learn it. You don't want to marry him because he has not done it all this while. Don't worry, I will teach him. Don't worry. Just, he's a Christian man. He loves God and is serious with life. Marry him. As for this other, he's nice, he's not nice. We will teach him. Chuk, is that also? Chris? Olanka? Have you been learning it? Have you been practicing it? Small, small. Just by the way, guys, I know I said number 11 is nice, but then after some time, you now start the nice thing. They don't marry you, finish, don't be so. They have already married you. What else do you want her to do now? Try now, be nice. She has taken the risk. You don't know it was risky marrying you. No, really, marrying some of you guys, people like me, was a risk. My wife looked and said, so this is how my life will just become dry. No, I'm serious, she considered it. But without wavering in unbelief, she proceeded and did the will of God. The day my wife had peace, that at least some encouragement, that maybe life no go too bad, was one day, she came to see me, I came to town, so I was in my friend's house. So my friend just came, so when the guy came in, so I just said, I called him Cash, he calls me Black. I said, hey, yo, Cash, I said, yo, man. So we did a high five, yo, man. Like, this guy said, yo, man. You know, yo is not raining now. I don't know what rains now, you know. But those days was, you know, guys are talking, yeah, like, now I say, what's up, you know? Yeah, what's up? That's how you just say, hey, yo, Cash. I said, yo, man. So just give me a high five. So she was just looking and said, all right, things are not so bad. Thank God. What was it again? Then, no, yo was the one you told that I said, yo, man. Then, you know, Kirk Franklin was now singing. Make me wanna dance. Stomp. You know, she and her friends had the wrong impression about me. One day I was in the car, I remember I was in Lagos. So this guy, Michael Aremu, was playing. Anointing Mansion, Lori, me, cause I'm down with the Trinity, you see, can be better. You know that, remember that, right? So I was just in the car, I was driving. So it just got to that point. Anointing Mansion, Lori, me, cause I'm down with the Trinity, you see, can be better. I was just driving, you know, just singing. I didn't know what I was looking. One lady was at the back. Pastor Maki is rapping. Pastor Maki is rapping. I was born rapping, my God. But they did not know. You know, that's my point. You're because you see from the pulpit, praise the Lord. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They didn't say that's what they do every day. I lie. When God created the heavens and the earth, you see, made Eve for Adam. And we know. You know, that's my point. So, it was risky. The Lord is good. But that risk has paid off well. Amen. I'm a nice guy now. Praise God. So guys, I'm just saying to you, also become nice. Amen?
Amen.
Let me get back to what I was preaching, okay? So, this young lady, I'm telling you, that's how the guy did nice to her. Finished her with niceness. She married him because of his niceness. After that, the niceness became exhausted. 2 years later, she packed her bags, carried her baby, with anger and bitterness. Everybody told her before, this guy, that's what I'm telling you, don't let anybody use niceness to. If a man buys something for you plenty, it only means one major thing, he has money. If he doesn't have money, he can't buy it, unless he's a thief. And you don't want to marry a thief, amen? Alright, so don't use that one, okay? I know what I'm trying to say, okay? So the young lady just told me simply, I told her, I only know the guy is nice, but niceness does not move me. Because it is not a plus, it is not a minus. It's just there. They're telling me the guy is dark or the guy is fair. What difference does it make? Either you yellow or you black, we think concern me. You understand? That's how that level is. Okay? Niceness is even less important than that, because if he's yellow, you can't change him again. You can't go and wake up and say, Lord, I want a black man. So you're painting him with kiwi polish every morning. You can't do that. He said, I wanted him to be fair. You can't start making the man bleach. Can you do that? But niceness, we can teach it. Give me your husband for 1 week, and he listens to me. I don't mean he's a stubborn, you know, stubborn head. The man who listens to you, I will teach him how to be nice. He'll be so nice, he'll be tired. So I told the lady, I said, so I can't judge. I said, however, because you have listened to me, I will trust your judgment. That's all I can say. But having said that, if I went home and then suddenly I had a dream, or I wake up in the morning and had a very terrible feeling, and it's somebody that will listen, I just call and say, okay, I have a very terrible feeling. Pray about it. You are not even allowed to change your mind because of my feeling. You don't know whether my feeling has to do with the bad food I ate 2 days ago and the salmonella is just manifesting today. You don't know. But this will cause you to pray. I used to say those things because my father was a very quiet person. If he expressed strong reservations towards the woman I told him I wanted to marry, this is my wife, I would have gone to pray. Not because he continued, but you know, he was such a, my wife knew him, of course, he passed on a few years ago. He wasn't the type that, you know, now the day I told him that I would like to get married, all he said was about time. He didn't say any other word. I was going to say, you won't even ask who? He said, no, I know you will bring her to show us. That was all he said. All he said is about time. So I now brought out her photographs. I had two of my wife's pictures there. So, oh, fine girl, just look at it. He didn't say more than that. He didn't even ask, where is she from? You know, some people say, where is she from? Okay, let's go to their village and go and see what's going on there. He didn't ask. He did not even know she was not from the West. That shows you how much he cared. He didn't care. And he was very happy with me. One day at home, wanted to pray. He said so much about it. He talked about it, how he's very happy. Yeah, you know, how I've lived life. He's so proud of it. He said so much, but he didn't ask me, where is she from? So I told my wife that, I said, if he had, you know, had expressed reservations, it would have been cause for me to pray. You are getting my point? Because I knew he wasn't that kind of person. So you now want to know, is the Holy Spirit moving him? But if I have one auntie like that. So I can't lay a cousin, just like she's older than me. My wife knows it. Even if you say, God said, you mustn't marry her. I say, go and tell God I will marry her. if my auntie said that, that's what I told her. Why? Because I knew the kind of person she was. She's the one I told you that the day that she was getting married with my younger brother, he wanted in Enugu here, you know, and I was preaching. When I finished preaching, she came home and said, she came for the wedding. He said, okay, thank you, thank you. I said, auntie, what happened? He said, you just took my matter up to the pulpit to go and preach. I said, auntie, you think I said, auntie, you think you are the one I'm thinking about? I'm just preaching my gospel, but leave me alone. She said, that kind of, is it, so if she had come and said that, as I was praying, Holy Spirit said, should I marry that girl? I'll start at my home. I will marry her. What will you do? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. That will have been my response. Now, I'm saying all of this to let you know that a prophet shouldn't be controlling your life. Four guys propose to you, go submit their names in the house of a witch doctor because he wears a suit and says, praise God. And he will point his finger at you, at one of them, and you will think it's the will of God. It's the will of man. And it can be the will of the devil. Christians don't live like that. Are you getting my point? We have our own personal relationships with God. And that's why I said, no one will say to his neighbor, know the Lord. That's what Jeremiah was explaining. I will put their laws, my laws, upon their hearts. So that they will so know me. Like, go and read my book. Should I say yes? Go and read the book. There's a chapter there which I titled, I Married the Girl I Liked. Because a brother asked me, what did God say to you concerning the wife? He said, did God speak to you concerning the wife you marry? I said, yes. So how did he say it? I said, the officiating priest said, I pronounce you man and wife. They said, I pronounce you man and wife. The guy almost fell down from the stool with laughter. I said, oh, you're expecting me to hear? Oh, you're expecting me to say to you? And I was praying one day. I said, listen, my guy, I saw the girl. I liked her. I asked her to marry me. She agreed, and we married. From the day I saw her, we married like 18 months, I know. So this story I've told you now was 18-month story. But that is the summary of it. So are you not a carnal man? I said, you don't know what the meaning of spirituality. Spirituality is not ability to look into the spirit to make decisions. Spirituality is walking by the word of God every step of your life. That's what it is. I said, have you noticed? I didn't go to a bar and meet a girl there and I liked her. Are you getting my point? I went for my alumni fellowship. She was a final year student at that time. She came up to me to ask a question. And then we talked a bit. I thought I was too tired to answer. As she was about to leave, my mind, one angel said, waiting, look now. I looked again. I said, my God, come, I can answer any question. Just come back later. I said, you must understand. Before then, I had four things. Is it three or four? Three things in my mind I said I wanted from God in a wife. I said, number one, I didn't ask God, please, I want to marry a Christian. If I asked, they would have slapped me. So what were you planning to marry before? Osama bin Laden's cousin. So that was not the prayer point. God, I want to marry a Christian woman. It's not to be discussed. I said, I wanted to marry a woman that loved God. And that love for God, being vibrant, is manifested in the fact that she loves to learn the word of God. That's my point number one. I said, number two, I wanted to marry a woman who believed that I not only am I called to teach, I can teach her also. Hey, it's in that book. Shall I say yes? Anyway, that's the point. I already had those things in mind. So, I married the woman I liked. It's not just a statement that's brief. It has a deep connotation. It's that depth inside it that is the spirituality in it. I have seen people who went to pray and fast so that God can speak to them. And God spoke to them. And they still did not marry the person that God spoke about. What happened was that the Holy Spirit that spoke that time was assisting. The main Holy Spirit was on leave. So when the Holy Spirit came back, he annulled all the decisions of the former Holy Spirit. Maybe, I don't know. But they said they heard God. I have seen people that said, God spoke to me. And then they spoke to the girl. And the girl did not listen to either them or God. So, you understand my point? So, I have my other credit. I'm bringing an issue here. I don't have time to be, you know, guiding your life. My pastor, I want to travel. Do you think we should travel? No, I think you should take the ticket money and sow it into my life. We don't ask so stupid questions. Do you know Christians still do it? Before they travel, they want to phone their pastor for approval. Look, there's a respectful way you talk to say, ah, pastor, we're traveling next week. Or I say, hey, what is happening? Then, you know, we chat. You know, it's out of respect. It's not about, if I don't approve, you can't go. I wasn't called to run your life. I was called to teach you how to run your life. There are things people will tell me, it's counsel. I explain. You just say, ah, sir, we're thinking about it. What do you think? Instantly I say, no, Christians don't do that. That's what a pastor does. I instruct you with divine precepts. You can't submit anybody's name to somebody to come and do divination. He said, pastor, what if I'm a prophet? I've told you already. Then it is possible. Then God will tell me, listen, go talk to this person that is about to do something that is out of order. And that happens. But it is not allowed in Christianity. You come and submit names. Is this the will of God? It's not. I hope you're getting my point. If you want to do a business also, the same thing. All the time that you carry your business to go and meet one prophet somewhere to check whether God wants to do it, that's why you haven't prospered till today. They never agree. Go and check if you are in town here. And the prophet is not sure that if you move to Lagos, his offering will be complete. He will never agree. A brother told me the other day, he said he wanted to see me, that he's thinking of moving from Enugu to Lagos. Now, this is how I handle situation like that. He said, he just needs to talk to me. Of course, you know I can't run his life. What he does morning till night in his house, I don't know. The only thing I know is I can teach you the precepts of God. So I said, you understand that promotion does not come from the east or the West, nor from the South. But God is judge. He understands that. So you don't think that blessedness is in Lagos. No, I know it's in me. And anywhere I go, I will manifest. Now, if you know all of these things, you can go anywhere. Do you understand my point? So once you settle that, I said, no problem. He said, what do I think? I said, I really don't have much to think right now. I said, but you see, when you're talking to me like that, I always scan my spirit. And actually, a lot of times, this happens a lot. I will still encourage you, if indeed, because that's my job. I'm a pastor. You know, I don't mean I pastor a church now. I mean, the job of a pastor is to teach people with the word of God. So when you discuss matters with me, I don't want a stranger. If I say, don't come and talk to me. The reason is because, where will I start teaching you from? You still believe that if I don't go to America, I won't prosper. How will I explain that one to you? So people I talk to, there are some questions I don't have to answer for them. They already know. But you can still go somewhere. There was one brother here, I didn't talk with him last Tuesday, I introduced him. You know, he just came back from either Ireland or England or Scotland. Somewhere in UK anyway, where he just went to do his master's program. You know, we used to even chat once in a while when he was over there. So there's no problem with that. But all of us understood that it is not that is where salvation is. So when people are talking to me a lot of times, one of the reasons is that if we know each other enough and you discuss things with me, I can help sometimes. There's wisdom. James said, if any man lack wisdom, there are times we lack wisdom. Somebody else may have the wisdom that you don't have. That's why you should make friends with people who love the world. Don't make friends with jokers. When you are going to a Bible study, your bosom friend is going for party. You should know that you are confused. Your best friend cannot be somebody who doesn't love the word of God. They will lead you astray. The Bible never said good communication corrects bad manners. Have you ever read it before? What did it say? Bad company spoils good manners. That's how it is. You can't say because this other meat is good, this one is bad, let's mix the two. The good one will now make the bad one good. No, the bad one spoils the good one. If you want to live a life that is right and you're making progress spiritually, your best friend can never be somebody who doesn't love the word of God and respect the word of God. No. People will give you counsel. They must love the word of God. So that day, I told the brother, like I was telling you, you discuss with me just like a friend who knows some things. So as he was talking, I was scanning my spirit like I always do. And I'm really praying, Father God, if there's a word for this man, put it in my mouth. And by the time he finished talking, I just asked him a simple question. I said, now having explained this, I said, I really can't tell you anything. I can't say go, don't go. I'll believe God with you and all of that. I said, however, when you get to Lagos, what are you going to be doing? I said, what are you going to be doing? He said that, by the time he finished talking to me, I just said, listen, go to where you are going. I don't have any problem with it. But make sure that by the time you go there, when you wake up in the morning, you have somewhere you are going. I'm not talking about you must have plenty of money. But you can't get there, sit down, and not be doing anything. There have been times that God said to Abraham, follow me, and I will show you. I said, but except God is telling you that if we have to operate by the general precepts that we understand, I said, then go there because you have something to do there. That was counsel. I was not running his life. If he calls me tomorrow and he says that now I am in Lagos, I'll say, oh, God bless you. I will be praying for you. And as a friend, you should pray for your friends. Are you getting my point? It's not a pastoral duty. Hey, Christians don't understand this thing. I want to travel. Let pastor know so he can be praying for you. It's not a pastoral duty. It's a friendly duty. It's not a pastoral duty. It's just a friendly duty. As Christians, if two of you are friends, all right, and he prays for you that this America that my friend has gone to, God keep him, bless him. And I pray for you, this America that my friend has gone to, bless him. Even though he's not the pastor of that church, his prayer is as potent as the one that's the pastor of the church. What makes each person's prayer potent are two things. One, faith. Two, righteousness. Now, I don't have time to explain it now. But that gives you power with God. A lot of people think that pastors are the only ones that have it. Some of these pastors are sinners and doubters. I don't mean it in a bad way. What I mean is that
You can't say that you don't know whether I have more faith than people listening to me. In fact, according to Pastor Busui, Pastor Busui said, the congregation can overtake the preacher because faith does not come by preaching, it comes by hearing. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, I want all of this to let you know that, listen, Christians, there are things you're not allowed to do. You can't be carrying your life from one prophet to another, from one prayer contractor to another prayer contractor, from one prayer house to another prayer house. You can't be doing that. It only breeds for you confusion. It breeds for you fear. If you need anything from God, how else will I say this? What do you do? What do you do? I can't hear you well enough. Say, so, won't I sow a seed? No! Any seed you sow at that time is a jaguda seed. You are trying to entice God. You are deceiving yourself. You are giving yourself self-confidence, which is false. What God wants from you is confidence in Him. What God wants, that He wants you to say that I have asked Him, He has heard me. He wants to say, I have sown the seed. You have put your faith in works. You want to sow seed? I'll tell you how to sow seed. It's a continual doing of good works. The seeds that matter the most are not the ones you target at the thing you are looking for. In fact, anyone you put for something you are looking for, listen, I will say it to you, I don't care who told you the opposite. The Bible says, which one went more justified? The one that said, have mercy upon me, the sinner. Or the one that says, I have paid my tithe, I have given offering, I have sown dangerous seeds. Hear this again, I'll tell you. You don't need to sow any seed. Your seed is not what brings forth results for you with God. That kind of seed. The kind of seed that brings forth results. Jesus said it, the seed is the word of God. When you plant the word, it yields fruit. Say, what about my money? Your money is a financial contribution. It's not a seed. Your seed, your money is a financial contribution. You said, check out. You don't sow all these years. Wait till you don't produce nothing. How do I know it didn't produce anything? It normally doesn't produce anything. You know what produces? Faith. What did I call it? Faith. When you ask, what seed did Jabez sow? No seed. Jabez knelt down and said, oh, that you will bless me indeed. And Jesus said, this is the way you will get results. Whatever you ask the Father, how do you do it? Ask in my name. James said, let him ask, nothing doubting. That's all. You cannot give money because you want more. No, it will never work. If you want money, how do you get money? You ask. And you go about your normal duty. Be responsible. Don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm asking for money. Wake up in the morning, go about normal duty for people of your, you know, your profession, your career, the life you are living. If you're a pastor, don't sit at home and say, I'm asking for money and I'm praising in the name of Jesus. I'm receiving money. Go and preach. Are you getting my point? If you're a shoemaker, go and make a shoe. If you're a driver, drive a car. If you're a civil servant, go to the civil serving office. Go and serve civil. You get my point? That's what I'm saying. Just do that. If you're a business person, get down to where you are doing your business. Don't go for a prayer meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning when market opens at 9. It's a very stupid time to go for a prayer meeting. You want to pray? Go to the market and pray from 8 till 8:45. 8:45, open the shop, clean everything. 9, swing open like everybody else. As for those prayer meetings that are organized in the morning, it's for women who are nursing babies. You understand my point? You are getting what I'm saying? Please, don't be running up and looking for fake spirituality. I was saying, so you want something, what do you do? You ask. And you get up in the morning, you go about your business. Then God prospers the labor of your hands. Once in a while, that's not the regular thing, He brings a supernatural gift to your way. You're not a preacher. Why should somebody be giving you offering? Some people are sitting at home waiting for money to just drop from somewhere. Listen, and unless you're a preacher, only preachers sit down and somebody blessed just call them and say, man of God, you are a blessing. Take.
And you know what? It is his payday. What did I call it? That's his own payday. He did the work last week, last year. One day, a young man saw my wife somewhere. He said he was just thinking about me. He just went to a shop, just bam, stumbled into my wife. Madam, this is the Holy Spirit. He did his hand in his pocket, gave my wife $100, say, when you get home, give pastor. Somebody say, praise God. That is what? Payday. What did I call it?
Payday.
What did I call it?
Payday.
Payday. It's not idleness. It is what? Payday. Otherwise, an average person, God prospers you by increasing your ability to produce. You hear what I said? That's what he does normally. He increases your ability to produce. From doing business of 10,000, he increases to doing of 100. Then one day, from doing business of 1 million, you jump up to 1 billion. Because you have proven what? Faithful. I digress to that to emphasize the fact again that you don't, it's not, your life is not about prophecy, somebody going around, should I marry this person, should I marry this person? No. That's why you will remain in confusion. Going from one prayer house to the other is causing what? Confusion. It's destabilizing your soul. It's making you afraid. They are casting out demons that are not chasing you. When you leave the place, suddenly they are looking out for the demons. My message to you today is, listen. In Christ Jesus, you are free. What did I say? Say it loud like you believe it.
In Christ Jesus, I am free.
Say it loud like you believe it.
In Christ Jesus, I am free.
Say it again.
In Christ Jesus, I am free.
Everybody, bow down your heads. We are praying. Say it again. In Christ Jesus, I am free. Say it again.
In Christ Jesus, I am
free. Say it again.
In Christ Jesus, I
am free. Say it again.
In Christ Jesus, I am free.
Just keep saying it. In Christ Jesus, I am free. One more time. In Christ Jesus, I am free. Now listen to this. What you're going to say now is this. In Christ Jesus, I have righteousness. Are you getting my point? Let me explain it. What we mean by that is that you're not trying to look for what to do so as to please God. You have already pleased God because of your faith. What you just want to do now is just walk in life according to the plan of God. Are you getting my point? You're not, listen, I need to say this for people to understand. Because when I say it, said some things earlier, some who may not have heard it before, they may have been confused. God is not blessing you because you sowed the seed. I'm not joking about that. He's blessing you because Jesus died for you. Did you hear what I said? He's blessing you because Jesus died for you and you believed in that Jesus Christ. And that faith in him, God sees it as what? Righteousness. So when you say, in Christ Jesus, I have righteousness, what that means is that all my prayers will be answered. All my desires will be met. All my problems will be solved. That's what you are saying in one statement. You are saying, I have not come because of the power of what I did. I have come because Jesus has done everything for me. I'm just walking by faith. So everybody say, in Christ Jesus, I have righteousness.
In Christ Jesus, I have righteousness.
Once again, say it. In Christ Jesus, I have righteousness. Say it one more time. In Christ Jesus, I have righteousness. Now, one more thing. Listen to this. All ancestral curses, they have been broken. Don't go to any prayer house where they start telling you, bring this so you can break a curse. All the curses have been broken. They have been broken because Jesus died for you. Listen, if any spirit is chasing you, it is because of your ignorance. Go back home and just go to sleep. Go back home and recite this thing before you sleep. Say, in Christ Jesus, I'm free. In Christ Jesus, I have righteousness. In Christ Jesus, all ancestral curses are broken. Do you understand that? Now, we're going to say I'm free again, but this time around, the emphasis in your heart as you are saying it is that all ancestral curses are broken. So everybody say, in Christ Jesus,
in Christ Jesus
I am free.
I am free.
In Christ Jesus, I am free.
In Christ Jesus, I am free.
Say it again, in Christ Jesus, I am free. Say, all curses are broken.
All curses are broken.
I am free.
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 Say, Satan.
Satan.
I am free.
I am free.
Say, devil.
Devil.
I am free.
I am free.
You can't do anything to me.
Amen.
Listen, that is the word of God concerning you. I said that is the word of God concerning you.
Amen.
Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.